All right. Well, starting in verse 18 of chapter 5, to give us a little preamble, we want to go back to chapter 5 and see what chapter 6 is saying to us and making sense. Remember where we started in all this, in Romans chapter 5, explaining about our salvation. And then we went to John the Baptist the next night and talked about the meaning of the pattern of the last will be first and the first will be last. From there, we went to Genesis and Adam and talked about how Adam is a figure of Christ in that pattern of the last will be first and the first will be last. How he's this backwards mirror. Everybody with me so far? And then we come back last night to Romans chapter 5 to recognize this pattern in Romans chapter 5 as it explains our salvation. Now, the purpose of this series is so that we can understand our salvation through the pattern, through the figures that the Bible gives us to work with. So everybody's on the same page. Tonight, we are going to go into the law a little bit and understand how that fits into the pattern. We did a little bit last night when we talked about Luke 16, about the rich man and Lazarus. Now remember, all of these things fall between these two parts of the physical and the spiritual, between Adam and Christ. And we see that the last will be first and the first will be last between Adam and Christ. So it starts in verse 18, consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. Here we see the pattern. We see Adam bringing us all death through one act of disobedience. And we see Jesus through one act of righteousness restoring us. Now everybody see this. How the gift is not like the trespass. Now, when we go back and we look at Genesis, remember we talked about the figure of male and female. How the woman was a picture of the body and the man was a picture of the spirit. Now, Adam's sin, we talked about this, Adam's sin was that he listened to his wife rather than God. And thereby he put the flesh above the spirit, didn't he? By listening to his wife, whom he was intimate with, rather than God, through the influence of Satan upon his wife, he put what his wife, in other words, what the body wanted, above what God wanted, didn't he? His sin was that he listened to his wife. Everybody, can you see that clearly? Sin comes through the flesh, and when we give in to our own desires is when sin captures us. Everybody see that? All right. Well, can you see the opposite in Jesus? By not listening to his flesh, and listening to the Spirit, he overcome as a man. By ignoring what the flesh wanted and listening to his Father, he overcome and was righteous even unto death. Now, I want you to see this parallel. Adam's sin led him to death. But for Jesus to be a sacrifice, his righteousness had to lead him to death. Now think about that. This is that backwards mirror. Adam's sin led him to death. But Jesus' righteousness led him to death. Isn't that cool? Adam listened to his own flesh, his own desires, and put those above God. Jesus denied his flesh to listen to God. Now, this is real important that you see this from where we're going with this. Remember where Jesus, he had told his disciples now, I must go to Jerusalem. I will be handed over to sinful men. And I will be crucified, and I will die, and then I'll rise again. He told his disciples this a number of times. But what happened when he actually started out to go to Jerusalem? Peter came to him, even though he'd heard this many times. Peter came up to him and said, Lord, don't go to Jerusalem, they'll kill you. I want you to see what's being portrayed here. See, Jesus didn't have a wife to listen to like Adam did. But who was he intimate with? His friends. And Peter was first among those, his friends. Satan tried to use that relationship and speak through Peter. But what did Jesus do? He did what Adam should have did. When Peter said, "Lord, don't go to Jerusalem, they'll kill you," Jesus turned around and looked straight, not at Peter, but through Peter, to the influence speaking through him. Like Adam should have did with Eve. And said, "Satan, get thee hence." You see that? That's a demonstration. Jesus said no to those influences that sought to work through his flesh where Adam should have and didn't. Well, so understanding how one act, one trespass was condemnation for all men. So as the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many would be made righteous. We see very clearly now the backwards mirror, how the physical and the spiritual fall between here Adam and Christ. And as we have borne the image of Adam, we must now bear the image of Christ. The last will be first, the first will be last. This was God's pattern from the beginning. It tells us wonderful things here. But now here's where it gets tricky. Listen to this. The law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, it says the law was added so that the trespass might increase. What does that mean? What does it mean so that the trespass might increase? Now remember what it says, where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the law was added, though, so the trespass might increase. What does that mean? So it could be seen clearly or more easily recognized. Surprisingly, no. Now, that's what a lot of people actually teach, Don, that this means. But I think we're going to learn different tonight. You're right on par with what a lot of people see that as in trying to explain it, because it seems to say something of that nature. But let's look at it. Remember what it said earlier when it started off on this. It started off by telling us in verse 12 that just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, in this way death came to all men because all had sinned. Even over those, for before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin was not taken into account. There is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is the pattern of the one to come. Now, this is why the trespass must be increased. Did you see it there? All those who sinned between Adam and Moses, sin was in them all and killing them, right? But it wasn't recognized. Why? Why wasn't sin recognized from the time of Adam to the time of Moses? Sin entered the world through the one man, and death through sin, and this way death came to all men, because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin was not taken into account where there is no law. Exactly. The law was added so sin might increase. You see it? Death was already in everybody because of sin. But you see, where there was no law, there was no sin. Who is the only one? Here's a better way to see it. Who is the only one who sinned with the law? From the time of Adam to Moses, only one sinned by breaking a command. From the time of Adam to the time of Moses, only one man had sinned by breaking a command. Who was that? Adam. So Adam, we could say it was sin because it was identified by a law. Right? In Adam, we could say it was a sin. We could identify it as because there was a commandment. He broke a commandment. It wasn't just sin in his heart. He actually broke a commandment. Thou shalt not eat of the tree. So he sinned according to law. And what was the penalty of that? In the day you eat of it, thou shalt die. Yeah, but we're speaking of Adam and Eve as a soul here, as one, Roy. Because we're all in Adam, right? He is the father of us all, according to the flesh. And the Spirit has headship, so we're speaking of all of us being in Adam. Let's leave Eve out of it for a second. She's in it, but let's leave her out of it to focus on Adam. So Adam is the one who sinned according to a law, a commandment. But his children didn't, did they? There was no law. And where there was no law, there was no sin. But so the law wasn't given until Moses. That's why the trespass, that's why the law was added. The law was added so that the trespass might increase. You see it? Sin was already in people as a nature and killing people. Now there's a difference between sin and a trespass. A trespass is a breaking of a commandment. We describe that as an individual sin. But there's a difference here made very clearly between sin as a nature and a commandment being broken, isn't there? The sin of nature, the nature of sin was in all men. It tells us that death, listen to what it says, therefore just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way death came to all men. Because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin was not taken into account where there is no law. You see it? So the law had to be added so the trespass could be seen, so it might increase. So it could be seen that it might increase. Not just so it can be more clearly or more easily recognized, but sin had to be seen through the action. You see that? Sin had to be seen through the action in order for sin to increase in the consciousness of not just one man, but all men. Man had to have a sin consciousness. And the law is the only thing that can do that. 1 Corinthians 7:7, we only know sin by the law. A sin consciousness had to be there. You had to feel the guilt of sin to understand where you're at. So the law was added that the trespass might increase. For where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Now you understand a bit about it? Where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through the righteousness, to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now it shows you why grace increased. Where sin increased, Jesus' blood was sufficient. See, this is all something about things being brought to the forefront to be seen, to be acknowledged, that it is in all men. Before it was in all men, but they didn't see it. They didn't acknowledge it. There was no guilt of sin. Because where there is no law, there is no sin. But that sin was still a nature, wasn't it? And it was still killing them. You're going to understand the ins and outs of this thing before it's over with, and it's going to blow you away. The law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. That's how good the sacrifice is. Where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, what is grace? Grace is more than just God's unmerited favor. But grace is the time that was bought for us to be translated from this flesh into spirit. Grace is the time that was bought for us to be changed from the physical to the spiritual through the body and blood of Christ. So what shall we say then, Paul says in chapter 6. Now we get down to it. Now you understand. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? No, by no means. Because we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? This is an important understanding. Jesus died for your sin. That's what the sacrifice is for. But the whole idea of that sacrifice is that Jesus dying in your place means you're dead to sin. Hear it. The whole idea of Jesus dying in your place to pay for your sin means you're dead to the law and the sin it convicts you of. Does a dead man sin? You cannot use grace for a license to sin. As a matter of fact, grace leaves you no excuse for sin. Because a dead man doesn't sin. You're considered dead, aren't you, through your faith? Dead to sin. Jesus died in your place. Does a dead man sin? No. Grace actually makes it harder on you because it leaves you no excuse to continue sinning. Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we may too live a new life. Now this is speaking obviously of our faith. I want you to understand something. There's people who are trying to tell you that, and don't get lost in this understanding, that you're spiritually resurrected with Christ. No. That you're spiritually dead with Adam. No. The word buried, isn't that what it's about? Buried? Jesus went down into, and He was buried in the depths for 3 days. He was buried. You've been baptized into that burial. What was buried of Christ? His body or His spirit? What was buried? His body or His spirit? You can't bury a spirit, can you? Can you bury a spirit? It was His body. So if Jesus sacrificed His body, and you're buried by baptism into death with Christ. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death. In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we may too live a new life. Can you be resurrected if you haven't died? Think about it. Can you be resurrected if you haven't died? Buried refers to your body, and therefore we are talking about something about faith. By faith, you consider yourself dead. Right? Nobody actually come to bury you. Nobody actually come to bury you, did they? You're buried with him by faith. And in the same way, through that same faith, you're living a new life now in Christ. Right? Okay. Now, this is where it gets hairy. Listen to it. If we have been united with him in his death, verse 5, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. See, if one is true, the other is true. If we have been, we will be. I want you to think of that to yourself. This is a good way to remember it. If we have been, we will be. If we have been buried with Christ, united with him in his death, we will be with him in his resurrection. You have to die to be resurrected. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be rendered powerless, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, this is going to really get hard for people who don't understand faith. And when we say in verse 6, for we know that our old self was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be rendered powerless, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been made freed from sin. Did anybody come and nail you to a cross? Did they come and nail you to a cross? Whose body was nailed to the cross? So the body of sin might be destroyed. Whose body was nailed to a cross? It was Jesus's, wasn't it? Jesus' body was nailed to a cross for you. So you are crucified with him. What is that? That's you identifying with him in his death. And how do you do that? You consider Adam to be dead. You consider Adam to be dead. You turned your back on the flesh. You've turned your back on that sin nature. Now here's where it gets funny. Funny peculiar, not funny ha-ha. The body, we see, needs to be redeemed just like the spirit, right? How many of you understand that? The body needs to be redeemed just like the spirit, just everything in its turn. But here it tells us the body of sin must be destroyed. Remember where we talked about the righteous requirements of the law must be fully met in you? It's in your body, isn't it? You must lay your body down to death. The body must die. Why? Because it's in bondage to the soul of Adam. It's in bondage to sin. Your spirit has been released from that bondage right now. Right? Your spirit no longer has to obey the woman and its lusts. You see it? Adam gave that authority to Eve when he partook of the fruit, right? And that became a standard, didn't it? That was their agreement. Their agreement is their marriage. That is their covenant. So when man left the pattern of God and took on that pattern of giving to the flesh, giving his strength to a woman, then the soul became corrupt, because the soul is the marriage of body and spirit together, right? It's no longer in the image of God, is it? It became corrupt. man giving in to his fleshly desires. The spirit giving in to the flesh. And therefore the spirit became a slave to the flesh. The covenant that forces him to do that is the soul. How can two walk together unless they agree? You see it? They both did. Adam and Eve did, Mr. Foti. Body and spirit. A woman's a picture of the body, a man's a picture of the spirit, and the two were one. And their agreement, Adam agreed with his wife rather than God, right? That changed the whole covenant of their marriage, didn't it? It was no longer walking according to the spirit, where Adam followed God and Eve followed Adam. Now Adam quit following God and started to follow Eve. He tried to please her rather than please God. Didn't that change their covenant? What their marriage was, what that soul is. Didn't that become a perversion of what it is? So what is sin that's dwelling in the flesh? It is the nature of Adam's soul. That's what sin is. A corrupt nature. Adam's soul. So when we say the old man is crucified, we're talking about the living soul of Adam. First the spirit is redeemed from it, and then the body in its turn. But the only way the body can be redeemed is to die. When it dies, sin dies with it. Sin is condemned in sinful flesh. You know what another way of saying sin is condemned in sinful flesh? Is Adam's soul is condemned in sinful flesh. When the body dies, that soul, that union, dies with it. The spirit's already been freed through faith. But the body must return to dust, right? And when the body dies, the remnants of that soul will die. That is the sin nature. How many of you can see this? And this happens in each one of us. That Jesus is redeeming you component by component. First your spirit and then your body. From that soul of Adam. And when your body and spirit are joined in the resurrection of Christ, whose soul are you mirroring now? Adam's or Christ's? Christ's. So let's read this again with that understanding. For if we have been united with him in his death, he died in a body, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection, our bodies resurrected. For we know that our old self, that's the soul, was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be rendered powerless, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. The life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Now notice it makes a difference here between your mortal body and the sin nature. Don't let sin, that nature, reign in your mortal body. Your spirit is freed and belong to God, so don't let that nature now take over control of that mortal body. Now you can submit that mortal body to God, right? So don't let sin reign in that mortal body, that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin, to that nature, that you call dead through faith, as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master. Another way of saying that is Adam's soul will not be your master, because you're not under the law, but under grace. Can y'all see that? Do we have a more complete understanding that when we're talking about the nature of Adam's soul, we're talking about that agreement that became corrupted when Adam first gave in to Eve rather than listening to God? and that corruption was passed down to all of us to please our flesh rather than please God. That soul is a soul of corruption. It is the sin nature to please the flesh. And by first freeing our spirit from that agreement, that covenant, that soul, through Jesus' death on the cross, by first redeeming our spirits so that they can enter into communion with God, all of a sudden the spirit can have headship in that, in what will be that soul of Christ in you, and can take control over the mortal body and render it to Christ. But in order to do that, the old sin nature must be dead, and that's what we reckon by faith. The same way that we are alive to Christ is the same way that Adam is dead, through faith. Reckon it to be. We believe God instead of what we see. That sin nature is the soul of Adam. So that when your body dies, guess what? The soul of Adam dies, which is the nature of sin. So that we can walk in agreement with Christ, body and spirit. Then the body can be redeemed after death, because when it dies, sin will die with it. So do you understand that your sin nature, the soul of Adam, is the sin that dwells in you, in your body? That's what it is. And through faith, you declare it to be dead. So what then? Verse 15. Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one to whom you obey? Whether you're slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Now, here's a great understanding. Now that you understand that the nature of sin is the nature of Adam, what did God pronounce upon Adam? Death. The day you eat of that tree, you will die. Adam must die, right? So if you sow to Adam, what's in his future? This is why sin kills you. This is why the nature of Adam kills you. Because it must end. It is temporary. It is corrupt. And if you sow to the nature of Adam, the nature of sin, you will die. See, sin isn't exactly what you thought it was, is it? The end of Adam was always death. And by labeling the soul of Adam as sin, we see sin must end. Right? As a nature. The nature of Adam must die. And if you sow to that, listen, don't you know that when you offer yourselves someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one to whom you obey? Whether you're slaves to sin, Adam, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. You see it? But thanks be to God, though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. You got to serve somebody, don't you? Christ told you you would either serve God or mammon, the flesh or God, right? You can't serve both. A man can't have two masters. And if you're serving sin, you're serving the soul of Adam. I put this in you human terms because you're weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body to slavery and to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, now offer them in slavery to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. And that's an interesting concept. Think of it. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from righteousness. But now you're a slave to righteousness and free from sin. This shows you something about the very nature of what man is supposed to be, a servant. A servant. and it's perverted for a servant to please himself. That is the very sin of Satan. Ooh, you see how deep that goes? You were given, you were made, you were created to be a servant. That's what you were created to be. That is your purpose in life, to be a servant. And it is perverted for a servant to serve himself. You start to understand? When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things of which you're now ashamed? The results of those things result in death. But now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, when you serve yourself, you're in that perverted soul of Adam. But when you're serving God as you were intended, you're in the image of Christ, who is a servant, who made himself nothing. Now you see why it is those who humble themselves, God exalts. And those who exalt themselves, God humbles. The pattern. Adam had to be humbled in order for God to exalt him. Jesus humbled himself and God exalted him. Adam had to be brought down because he lifted himself up to serve himself. And that's exactly what Satan is about, serving himself. You got to serve somebody. See, it's a trap. It's a lie. You'll be as gods. It's a lie. You'll be as gods. Because in serving yourself, you reap corruption. That's the part that Satan didn't tell him about. So we see through the figures, don't we? The soul of Adam, the sin nature, the agreement of two to walk together. We see the picture, don't we? Of what it is that Christ has really done for us in setting us free from serving ourselves. He's brought us into a great slavery where we're in the image that we're supposed to be in. There's so much more here. But this is about understanding what our salvation is about and how these figures work between Adam and Christ. It's a good place to stop here on this one. Tomorrow night, we'll go into 7 and we're going to add some things to this, to Romans chapter 6, to where it'll be even clearer. You're going to understand exactly why tomorrow night. Exactly why that Jesus' death frees your spirit first and then your body through the resurrection. You're going to understand exactly why that works and how it is by faith and therefore what faith is. That's what we're going to concentrate on tomorrow night. But tonight you needed to see how Christ served God as a servant and how Adam served himself by giving in to Eve. And you needed to see what sin was all about. That sin isn't just doing wrong. Sin is a nature of corruption that's perverted beyond belief. Because it's based upon what the image of Satan, serving yourself. And Jesus is our only freedom from that slavery.